Hello and welcome everyone to another fantastic episode of Was That in Good Taste? I'm one of your hosts and my name's going to be Chandler Phillips, and with me as always is...
I'm James Beery.
And I guess this time we should call it a fantastic or maybe stantastic episode of Was That in Good Taste, because we are paying tribute and an homage to one of our favorite shows of all time, the cartoon cinematic masterpiece that is American Dad.
Thunderstar has a sign in his face. Wow.
So for today, we're going to be Was That in Good Taste? American Dad Appreciation Edition. An installment, hopefully one part of many, because there's just so much to cover. 17 seasons and still going strong. We love to see it.
Was That in Good Taste? Was That in Good American Dad?
Was That in Taste in American and Dadding? Right? To go with... You're still bopping out to it.
I'm done bopping.
That's a good beat.
Hot fire.
That was
hot
wicked.
Fire. This week we're drinking. What are we drinking?
We're drinking Klaus's Fishbowl. And this one's an original. This one we came up with kind of on our own.
Klaus is opposite dead. He's on the bottom of my glass.
He's just chilling out on the rim of mine because he likes to talk to the other members of the family. And it's brought to us with Old Smoky Blue Flame Edition. This is their quote-unquote moonshine, but it clocks in at like 126 proof, which is pretty spicy.
I didn't expect it, to be honest. You bought it, and in case anybody doesn't know, these moonshines, they're sold in different versions. There's one that's like a malted beverage where it's like 12 to 15%. Sometimes you can find it in grocery stores in New York, and so I thought it was that.
Well, they mix it with like either a sweet tea, or they mix it with like a peach kind of deal, and it's still pretty good. But like, this is the real, and we tried the apple pie one, and that one's like a 30 proof, maybe 25 proof.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in the liquor or liqueur ballpark. This is just heat. This is just, it's, whoa.
I might have lied. That might have been too much.
You threw a lot in there. I went a little bit heavier on the blue curacao because, I mean, I love the taste of syrup and the taste of blue.
I mean, it's Wednesday. We're turning up, bitches.
It's my favorite of the colors in the American flag, the blue.
Mm. I sure do love America.
What, as the bartender, as the craftier, because it's like, I like how the dynamic is like, I'll have a vision for something and then I'll just kind of slide it to
it's
you.
Because you're crazy. Because like, you'd be going out of your fucking mind. That's why.
And I'll be like, make this work. People have an idea.
Chandler's always going off, and he wants it. And I get it. The interesting flavor combinations, but this actually reminds me of the Ice Pop Prime, where it's like the kind of sweet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It tastes kind of like candy, because this is effectively like a punch with Malibu coconut rum, which is, it's effectively a liqueur. What is it again?
Like 21%.
Yeah, it's effectively wine. In addition to the moonshine, a sugar-free Sonic Tropical Splash packet. You can get that from your Family Dollar.
Those are pretty good. Like, they're the water enhancers.
Yeah, they're good. They make it taste delicious. There's no sugar. And you can do something interesting. Like I always say, look, we got these fish bowls. And, you know, each one of these is about 2 cocktails. So make sure you drink responsibly. You know, make sure you measure it out. You know, because this is an overproofed liquor, the 2 and the 3.5 ounces is pretty significant, yeah. But I think that really comes around to like for 2 standard drinks, it's effectively, I think, like 2.25 standard drinks. It's not that significant.
Yeah. Like, okay, wait, hold on. We can math a little bit.
Oh God.
So if the Malibu is about 20% and like a vodka is like 40%, but this is like 60%. The difference in alcohol percentage, effectiveness, potency, with the both of the Malibu and the shots of this, it kind of damn near evens out to just doing like 4 shots of vodka. Right? Is that because
in this?
Yeah.
Right now? Maybe.
Well, if we consume all of this, it'll be as if we have consumed enough alcohol. Granted, there's water and there's other, like the sweetener and stuff in it. But if you think about, like, we put
4 1.5-ounce shots.
Does that math?
So that'd be 6, so about 6 ounces. Actually, yes, that is, yes.
Yeah.
That actually is correct. Don't do that.
Unless you're trying to have a good time.
If you're at home, please make sure that you drink responsibly. If you ever have anything
like
this. Who
has a fishbowl at home? Who's sitting there and is like, somebody. You know what? You know what?
This is really for sharing with friends.
I just want a little nightcap before the end of a long, listen, hard day of
we're
work.
We're not, hey.
I'm going to just grab my finest fishbowl.
We're not judging people, okay? Some people out there have an issue with dependence, right? So
they're making fish bowls.
Why not? There's different type of see this generalizations. You think all people who suffer or who have to manage alcohol dependence or alcoholism, you think that they're just shooting back? They're either only drinking pints of Voda, 750s of Voda, or like a 30 pack of Natty Light in a day, mm-hmm. but all after work. Those are the only two types of people that exist. You don't think there's somebody out there who suffers with alcohol addiction, well, and they're just like, you know what I'm going to do today to make myself feel better? I'm only going to make one cocktail. Then they get an overproof liquor.
But that's like if you're like dependent, like your emotional support cocktail is like a Bloody Mary. Like it's just... It's one of those where, like...
Are you going to tell me if you are struggling with alcohol dependence, which is a serious issue, please, if you have that issue, don't drink. God, I'm not encouraging that. You're telling me this couldn't be a Bloody Mary? Put a Bloody Mary in this?
This could very well be a Bloody Mary. I'm saying the...
Tequila Sunrise?
That's just tequila and orange juice. That's just mixer. There's no mixer in this.
You can put anything in a fishbowl.
There are more than 3 different types of alcohol. And to make it blue, no one is drinking blue Curacao as a like, I'll just do a little splash of this, you know, to round out the beverage. I feel like just the priorities are at a different, it's like, I guess, let me rewind it. It's not that if you have a Bloody Mary, it's if you do a Bloody Mary with all the accoutrements where you're like, well, I need to make a Bloody Mary to get my day started, but I need to make a Bloody Mary with a BLT kind of hanging off the rim.
Like
that's what this is.
Every time you, it's like,
it's a novelty.
This is, yeah, we just poured a bunch of stuff inside of a fishbowl and just novelty.
Just for fun.
For fucking
fun. That's just
fun.
Something we want. Yes.
You know what? You know what? You're not cool. You know what? If my boys were here.
If Klaus's boys
if
were
my
here,
my boys
bro,
were here, bro. You know what they'd be like? They'd be like, we crush 4 of these motherfuckers a day. Twice a day.
You stupid
That's
bitch.
8 a day. Squared? How many times is that a day? A lot.
That's so many times,
That's
bro.
So many times, bro.
It took a lot of brainstorming to finally fall on a fishbowl cocktail, and I felt like it was like that was the obvious one to do, and so I almost felt like it was too obvious, and so I toyed around. I did some research, you know. I like to go on my Wikipedia rabbit holes. Went on the American Datapedia site to try to get a database. Except it's an American database. Of different types of cocktails that they use in the show. And of course there's the episode where Stan wants a martini when he gets home from work
yep.
every night. And so they constantly are doing the whole, like, he's just getting drunk, just totally blitzed every night. There's the episode where George W. Bush comes to town, and as part of the CIA, Stan gets to do like a extra Secret Service shift.
Oh, he's hanging out with George W. Bush.
And George W. Bush falls off the wagon and just starts ordering a fuck ton of shots. There's like Slippery Nipples, Bahama Mamas, and like stuff that doesn't exist. There's a concrete mixer, which that is citrus juice and Irish cream.
That sounds pretty gross.
Uh-huh.
That sounds... You had it?
No, I would...
That sounds...
Well, okay, now I'm curious.
It's
called a cement mixer because, like, those two things don't mix. And when it goes into your stomach, it just kind of curdles into a block. So there was a lot of inspiration there. Of course, there's the episode where Steve is trying to figure out how to be cool at a party. And so Klaus just hands in some Jello shots and goes... Just go up to a girl and say, Jello shot, bitch.
Jello shot,
bitch. Hey, this guy's cool. So I was like, do we do Jello shots, bitch? Or then there's also like just a general like Roger shenanigans. He's always doing random alcohol things. But I landed on wanting to do a moonshine. In honor of the episode where they first begin their feud with Santa, because mm-hmm. Now do you remember the beginnings of this plot?
I remember they went to the North Pole, and the elves were being dicks. And I just saw this episode, but there's a lot of episodes. I watch a lot of American Dad.
No, this one was preceded
it's the first one.
The very first one where they interact with Santa.
I don't remember.
Because before that, I think it might have been the first season's Christmas episode, or there was something where like Stan was being a micromanager and then they freeze while trying to get a tree and then he has to go back in time mm-hmm. and kind of do like a Wonderful mm-hmm. Life thing. Mm-hmm. This one is where they directly acknowledge that Santa exists in the American Dad cinematic universe. And they are, Roger leaves the family when they go shopping.
He was one of the reindeer.
No. Oh.
Is that another scene?
That's another one.
Are you
That's
fucking...
a different one.
There's so many.
There's 17 at least Christmas episodes. This is the one where Stan gets Steve a gun for Christmas. Francine doesn't like it. And so she's like, you got to go take him to the mall and get him something different. And so they go to the mall and they get him a machine gun or like a like an AR instead of just the handgun that Stan wanted to get him. He's like, all right, I guess if I have to get him something better, it's going to be a better gun. And so then they go back behind the mall and Steve's like, OK, thanks for the gun, Dad. And he's like, well, no, we're going to do target practice. Go shoot that snowman.
And there's a homeless person and a snowman.
And there's
it's Santa.
It's the mall Santa.
Yeah.
Taking a smoke break behind the snowman. But it turns out that wasn't just the mall Santa. That was the Santa. And he just respawned in the North Pole after they had tried to hide the body. But because Francine... and Haley and Roger were all there with Steve and Stan to try to hide the body. They were all implicated. And so he was coming for the whole Smiths, not just for Stan and Steve, the whole Smiths. Meanwhile, Roger goes to a liquor store and he goes, hey, I'm looking for something that'll really kick my eggnog up a notch, right? And the liquor store goes, all right, come in real close. Legend has it that there's a man not too far from here, who lives up in the mountains. He's got goat legs and 8 arms, and he's a moonshiner. His eyes burn like the devil, and his hair is wild, and he speaks in tongues. And so then Roger goes, I must know this man. So he gives him a map to go find him. And of course, Roger, after traversing the Appalachian Alps, he comes upon... This motorhome deep in the woods with a guy just in a rocking chair, and he makes the best, most potent moonshine ever, just of all time. But he's just a regular guy. In fact, do you remember his name?
No, but I remember the best part is when he first meets him, he can't understand shit he's saying because he's like babbling. He's just like, blah, blah, blah. And then fucking Roger drinks the moonshine.
And he's like, now you can understand me.
What was his name?
Billy Bob Todd's the name. You can call me Billy. You can call me Bob. You can call me Billy Bob. You can call me Bob Todd. If you call me William, I won't know what to do with you.
Our episode is so fucking funny.
It is all over the place.
Because he literally, because the guy, because, but he's like, oh, he's like, my secret super recipe. And Roger's like, I want to learn. And he's like, well, I just met you, but you seem nice.
You seem like a good fella.
I'll teach you.
You may just be an alien in the wig, but he's one of the few who can actually tell that Roger is just an alien in a wig. But I'll teach anyone moonshining. And then he throws the barrels at him, and they turn into the Mario game. And he's like,
fuck, man. God, that episode was so fucking funny.
The amount of just ambient brain space I've devoted to housing American Dad episodes, just so when I'm disassociating, I can be entertained by American Dad.
It's so funny because, like, I know that episode. But the episodes are so interesting with their A, B, and C plots that I often confuse the episodes.
But that one ties them together,
but
even.
But it connects them.
It connects them because
at the end, he's with them, and when he's helping them fight Santa. Mm-hmm. And if I'm correct, Steve was on Santa's side.
Not Steve. Jeff.
Oh, it was Jeff. Oh, yeah, because they were...
Jeff
they were,
defected.
Oh, because this is the first... This is when they first started doing
this
story.
The first.
Where he was not really part of the family yet, and Stan was being an asshole to him, and he had to decide, really, to pick Christmas or the family, and he ends up picking the family.
He does. Jeff loves Christmas, but he stabbed Santa in the rib cage.
That was crazy.
With a helmet from the polar bear from the Golden Compass. Again, I have not watched this episode in at least a year. Okay, that's not true. In at least 4 months.
I definitely just saw it.
Yeah. It's one of my, like, annual rewatches. But so we had to go with a moonshining thing because of that episode. I figured Billy Bob Todd would appreciate it. Another one that I was going to do that I think will kind of segue us into some of our favorite quotable, memorable moments is we could have done like a duck wine, or a duck label wine, because specifically there's a quote regarding rain duck. It's like the best wine that you can get, and the episode is Francine slipped and bashed her face at a supermarket, and in order not to sue, the owner of the supermarket gave her free steaks. And you know it would be great with steak? Some wine. But Roger, he's got a whole cellar of wine. Francine, you just want any wine. Is it good wine? You stupid bitch. This bitch doesn't even know she's about to have the best fucking wine of her whole dumb bitch life.
Free steaks!
Free steaks! And then it's a whole side thing where, like, the liquor store is out of rain duck, and, you know, he curses in French, and then he goes to their neighbor's house, Terry and Greg, and he then goes on a myriad of escapades to try to steal their bottle of rain duck that eventually ends with a Rube Goldberg machine.
Oh, the dominoes?
The dominoes.
What started the dominoes again?
Okay, so the thing that starts the dominoes is he inhales helium from a balloon and goes, when I was a little girl, Grover Cleveland was president. Yeah. And it makes Francine laugh, spill a bunch of stuff.
And then it bumps into it. It goes out through the living room, around a hot tub, across the street, through Terry's living room.
Through their living
through
room.
Their
up
living
over
room.
Their, their coffee table. Comes back into their living room. It, like, knocks, kills, or no, hits a fly swatter. Kills a fly, then the wife and children of that fly cry and then, like, do something where they pull a tissue that starts another Rube Goldberg machine that eventually leads to a misfire to try to steal the rain duck. It just ends up breaking a vase or something in Greg and Terry's house. And so Francine just walks over.
She smacks the fuck. That's my favorite part of the episode, is that she just fucking walks over and she just fucking smacks the shit.
My face! Your face! Our faces!
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love that episode so much. That's actually so fucking funny. I think Francine is one of the best characters of the show, seriously.
You think Francine, would she... We might be jumping the shark a little bit, but how would you rank your characters in terms of, like...
Oh, that's really hard. Because, as you know...
Relatability.
Relatability? Damn. Honestly, Jeff and Haley is a combo.
Yeah.
Jeff and Haley is a combo, I think, because obviously the whole point of that is that they're supposed to be millennials.
Yeah.
And... We're millennials.
We're millennials.
And that's the whole point of the show from the first season.
Freeloading millennials.
Which, just in case you don't know, if you've ever watched American Dad, which is, maybe we should have done this before. It's an American animated cartoon sitcom produced and created by Seth MacFarlane that originally launched in like 2002 or something like that. It was definitely during the Bush era. And it was a political parody sitcom kind of family show in the vein of Family Guy or The Simpsons, where it's like kind of a nuclear family, but it's a more, you know, because now you have effectively a boomer dad
who works just for an extra conservative.
Yeah, he's uber conservative with this hyper liberal daughter and, you know, her boyfriend who smokes weed, and of course wackiness ensues.
They have a dorky son.
A dorky son.
And an alien sidekick living in their house.
And a guy whose body got body swapped into a fish.
Yeah, there were a lot of dimensions going on. What do we have? Okay, we did.
Man, you ever try to do a podcast and you drink a Klaus bowl? I'm going to tell you what. Me and my bros do it all the time. Me and my bros, we do this all the time.
Now, this might just be my toxicity.
You know bros. What bros?
You know, my bros in Tampa.
He's like, the episode they go to the house. And he's like, the bros are, he's like, they're real. He's like, whoa, be cool.
Come on, man. Don't embarrass me. Sup. Are you guys playing 2K11? Sick, bro. I think so. You put Jeff and Haley as like a couple
because they're so relatable as a couple. You know, Francine's silly as shit. You know, but also depends like what season. But like Haley and Jeff, come on.
Francine keeps it so real though.
She always keeps it real.
She always keeps it real. Homegirl keeps it real.
Homegirl keeps it. Damn.
Homegirl gets money.
Yo, I fucking love Francine because she be getting money and bitches.
Homegirl doesn't chase. Homegirl gets chased.
Damn. I want to press that sound, but I forgot which one it was.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Hold on.
Things are getting too spicy for the pepper.
Come on.
That was pretty solid.
Come on.
Oh, that's great. She does have some great quotables.
She had, first of all, she's an alcoholic. Love it.
Is she an alcoholic or is she just...
She just likes to have fun.
Bored.
She likes to have... Oh, she's the epitome of the bored housewife. I'm dumb. That's the whole dynamic, is that you have, like, the moderately wealthy family who, like, the father works inside of government and the wife who doesn't need to work.
She's just a housewife.
She takes care of the kids and the alien and the fish.
But her kids also don't really need her in a way that like keeps her engaged and entertained. I think one of my favorite, it's not necessarily the character, but the character dynamics of the boys. Not Klaus's boys. Steve, Snot, Toshi, and Barry.
I always wish I had that kind of male relationship. I know. It's so weird because I think when I first started watching American Dad, the Scott this not Steve relationship, I thought was a little strange because it's like kind of homoerotic.
Yeah.
The relationship that they have reminds me of the relationship that young women have. But like, actually, if you think about it, it makes sense because Steve is not a millennial.
No, he's, well, he would have been a millennial, I guess, but he was
technically, but he's definitely a younger generation, and he's not constrained to some of those same old things. And
the older conservative masculinity, he's the character foil to that, where his effeminateness and his openness with his friends, he's willing to play
Steve
with
Steve is sexy.
Friends.
Okay, I said it.
He's open. He knows how to rock to some Keith Sweat.
Oh my God. All over your body.
Your body
all over my body. Oh my God.
The episodes that I think they really delve into the character dynamics of that quartet, or even when they just try to do a project together, like the B plot where they're like hanging out in a plane crash as like their new clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they find a script for the next Fast and Furious movie. And they're reading it and they're like, okay, they start racing cars. One of them pulls out a gun and shoots it and they take off. And then they're both racing the bullet as they're drag racing, and they hit the NOS and speed off, and then it's starting to narrow, and then right as...
Is that not happening? If that... The way Fast and the Furious is gone, that actually...
They are prophets. And whoa. Then it just turns super homoerotic, and they're like, whoa, this is... I mean, this is great, but this will never get made. This can't be real. But we have to get this made. And then it turns out that is the real thing. And in fact, they do usually film it with all of the homoerotic stuff. But that's just for the releases in France only. Because all the other Fast and Furious movies are the countries they're released in are just
lame. I like the what they did that ending scene where it was like, Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
When they
you know, like, was it the Walk in the Railroad? And it's like... You know, Snot, you didn't make it like that, you know.
They all died in an overdose of some sort.
It's like, what the fuck is happening here? God, I love Steve. Okay, the best character is definitely Steve.
Steve and Anita Smith.
But is it not Roger? That's the problem. It's because, so... Oh my God, there's so much to talk about. I'm like jumping around. Cause one,
I do want to circle back to Steve and Snot, but
right?
Yes.
Cause you have the family. And then you have the pairings, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start with one that you probably don't think of a lot, which is Jeff and Steve.
Oh.
Great pairing, right? Because they're both, you know, they whenever they're together, there's hijinks, and I think that Steve is supportive and he actually kind of looks up a little bit to Jeff, because Jeff is older than him,
mm-hmm.
but he's also more responsible than him and smarter than him.
And Jeff, not very responsible, not very smart.
And so they're always very fun. I mentioned that one first. I feel like they don't get a lot of love. You can always tell because oh my God, then the trios, because the Klaus, Steve, and Jeff, when Haley's kidnapping them, and
she throws, yeah.
You know, like them just in the room together with Klaus. Come on. Then Klaus and Rock. All the pairs, and then instead, everybody with each other in groups. And then you also have Steve. It's not. Then you have Steve and Barry.
Steve and Barry almost gets kind of like, well, those are the dark ones, because usually it has to do with like Barry is off his medication and becomes a sociopathic narcissist.
He's out of his mind, but he's not on his medicine.
And I love how they brought it back, like in like, 10
but that's
seasons
Steve's
later.
Baby's boy. That's Steve's baby boy.
He is.
That's I love it because Steve is also. Steve is almost paternal. No, Steve maternal. No, Steve is paternal.
Yeah.
He has this caring, protective relationship over his friends, and it's like, you know, it's for Toshi.
He's got his mother's ass.
He loves Toshi, but they just don't be Toshi don't like them.
No, Toshi does not like him. And remember when there was the whole like love interest with Toshi's sister?
Yeah.
And so then like Steve and what is it? Oh, I'm drawing a blank. And Toshi's like, "What the fuck, dude? I thought we were friends." And he's like, "Well, I mean, like a friend would let me hit, but." But I love the snot and Steve dynamic because it's so strong. It made Stan jealous when they had their whole thing, and it put me onto some good music. I know. So you know the episode where Steve and Snot are hanging out and they're like doing air guitar in the garage.
I remember that.
And like the full like 80s hair metal band.
Oh, and I remember, and Stan was like, because they weren't playing guitars.
Yeah.
And he was like,
This is lame.
He's like, "This is lame.
What are you doing?"
And then he tried to get them real guitar. Didn't he try to get Steve a real guitar or something like that? Or to play guitar?
No, he fucking got Snot into the witness protection program.
This guy's gonna make my kid.
And then he made it because
he told. And then nobody knew what happened to Snot. And Snot was living in a. He told him that he had to live in the hotel room. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Your life is in danger." He's like,
but then he ends up hanging out with Snot and he's like, "Well, this Snot guy's pretty cool."
And he kind of becomes friends with him. Yeah. And then he's like, "Oh, now I gotta keep him to myself." So then it switches from him needing to keep Snot away from Steve.
Like, they killed the people who would. They completely disbanded whatever organized. It wasn't even he had seen a thing. They had staged a thing.
Yeah, they staged it. Because Stan is literally the kind of person who forgets a birthday or anniversary, so he kidnaps his family. He puts them in tubes.
Well, you know, to solve a problem. Sometimes, in order to break an egg, you get to make an omelet afterwards.
The episode, actually, the end is crazy. Because they're like, because they find out, they'll protect them and stuff, and they're like, "No, we want to remember this." I was like, oh my God. Oh, some of these, you know what? There's a lot of American Dad, and that's why every time I watch it, it's almost like a new show to me, because there were so
many
episodes, and I have a really hard time, except for those are the famous characters, all the Rogers characters, of course.
Now you gotta tell me, like,
okay,
like, who are your favorite memorable Roger characters?
Okay, so I know this is like probably in more recent, but Rub Tub Tuggington, I just love that so much because he was doing that as well as being Dr. Penguin at the same time, right? So literally he's like on the floor, his fucking fingers are broken, and Haley's like, "I need to talk to my therapist." And he's like, "I think he's booked now." She's like, "Oh, I can pay in cash." Then he's
Dr. Penguin's right in.
You know, he's right there. I think that one is really funny. Of course, you have your wrong one.
Fine.
That's not Bird watch. Where?
Shit, it's Roger.
Where's the Ricky Spanish one?
Nope.
There it is.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Wait.
You gotta show them the side. You gotta show them the side of the hair.
Full side. The double pony.
Oh my god.
Of like just kind of. So. We did our best to try to recreate some Roger personas. I tried to recreate my Ricky Spanish look of classic.
Communicate with the people. I'm gonna go get my friend.
Oh.
Yeah. Communicate with the people.
You gotta.
I gotta get my friend. I'll be back.
Shit. It's gonna be Roger, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's Roger, isn't it? It's gonna be Roger.
Listen, okay. I'm gonna get my friend. Okay. Entertain them.
So my look today is inspired by the Roger persona of Ricky Spanish, as you can tell by this vest with breakaway snaps that does not match the undershirt, which is from my Antelope High School sober grad night. Because what's trashier than wearing your high school sober grad night t-shirt while drinking fishbowl cocktails and the double pony, not a pigtail, I should add.
What's up, bitches?
Oh, God.
My name is Johnny Films a Lot. my friends call me James. My name is Joshua, but they call me James.
Well, nice to meet you, Johnny. James films a lot.
I was told that we were going to film something. I came prepared.
Well, you're a little late, Johnny. We started the podcast.
Shut the fuck up.
Are you drinking on the job? Oh. Well, goodness. Johnny, I hope that you're still able to point the camera after this.
I'll be fine.
So what kind of work do you specialize in, Johnny? I know we've already booked you for the position, but I kind of want to go over some of your resume highlights.
I got 200 views on a YouTube video once and 1,000 views on World Star Hip Hop.
Wow, which one are you more proud of?
World Star Hip Hop. I know the description says 2 20-year-olds having a fight in a Waffle House parking lot, but really, they were 16.
That's, and how do you grapple with the ethics of that?
Who gives a shit about ethics?
Harsh words, Johnny. Aren't ethics the foundation of journalism?
I don't know shit about journalism. I do fucking films. My name is not Johnny Journalism a lot. I don't know what the fuck you think this is. Why the fuck am I here? Hold on. This is, first of all,
Johnny,
what kind of game is this?
We need you to film, Johnny.
Scene one, action.
Oh, man.
Take your shirt off.
Oh, God. Wait.
And your pants.
Is it? I mean, only if it's for the script and if it pertains to the.
Where's the lube? Oh, is this the wrong kind of film?
I just want to be an artist. Is this good? Is this?
I'm a fucking rock star.
Johnny, what kind of projects do you have coming up in the near future?
The one where I'm. The one where I'm fucking your mother. I can't do it. I don't have it. Oh my God.
My goodness, Johnny. If it doesn't win an award, we'll all be disappointed.
I can't. How do you rate my Roger personality?
You know what? I'm gonna put it one step above drummer, guitar player, bassist, Krispy Kreme McDonald, but it's still gonna come a little bit short of AT&T operator Shalonda Dykes.
I gotta call her. Like, seriously, let's get that credit
from AT&T.
It hasn't happened yet.
Is this still from Johnny?
No, this is exactly from the episode. Oh, because then they turn around and Roger's there. And it's gonna
be me, isn't it?
Shit, it's Roger, isn't it? It's going to be Roger.
That's one of my favorite bits. Is there was one recently, too, where it was him, where he was the one who's like, oh, God damn it, it's going to be me, huh? Okay.
Come on. The Flask was good.
The Flask was
good. Come on.
There was the extended, like.
Because I went in on it. See, before, you know, I learned from Roger. I'm telling you, this is not a joke. What I learned from American Dad, you got to commit.
You got to commit. But I think what we could also learn from Roger, not in reference to this, but in addition to committing to the persona, you got to know how to pivot. And I think that's one of my other favorite bits that they do, where Roger will start a character and then completely pivot it like halfway through the episode, i.e. LeVar Crush pivoting to Arbuckle T. Boone, life coach.
It's interesting. We have that in common because that's why I love the Rub Tub Tug and Ting episode. Because that's the one episode where usually when a persona doesn't work out, Roger will literally throw the wig down and walk away. Or he'll just become somebody else.
But in
this one, he's like, wow, that was a bad idea.
Because he already bought all the the marketing stuff for it. He got the signage. He got that coaster. He's just like, well, shit, I'm too in the hole for this. I guess we're Rub Tug Tuggington.
He's like, oh, I never said the name out loud, did I?
Oh, God. It's
all right. I feel like Is Roger the best character in the show?
Roger is the most versatile character of the show. You can place him in pretty much any situation, any predicament, and it will be entertaining. I think that makes him a very important part. However, I don't know if it makes him my favorite, because I feel like in being so malleable, so fluid, so able to do and play whatever role he can, it loses groundedness and it's less relatable as an individual, except for character Dan Ansem Handsome, whereas obviously I can relate to that on a near daily basis. But
you trying to relate to an alien?
No, to his Dan Ansem Handsome persona, who's just too damn handsome.
I just remember Dr. Yaya.
Dr. Yaya, the inventor of ecstasy.
Oh my God. Fucking, I think that the thing, oh, but you can't, what about that heart-wrenching episode where Roger has other families?
Oh, you mean the Dubonnets? Bonjour, oh. Monsieur Dubonnet.
How about the one where Roger goes to space and he was with the other alien, right? Because he didn't have a ship. How did he get to space? I don't remember. And all I remember is he was in the ship with the other alien, and then he was just like sitting. He was like, oh no, I got to go back to Earth, because he's like a loser. Roger's a loser.
Oh, wait. Okay, so there's the one where
I might have had too much of what I was in that flask. I think Johnny Films a Lot still here.
Johnny Films a Lot seems like he's going through it.
This is the, by the way, this is the key prop.
Oh, that's the.
The sunglasses inside.
Oh God, Johnny's back. Hey, Johnny. Listen, we got James to film. We're. Oh God, he's going for the. Oh, thank God.
Woo. Where'd Johnny go?
I thought we were going to have to call someone.
I always miss him.
Okay, that's enough turning around for now.
God. Oh, my God.
I love how I watched a compilation video today in preparation for this episode of all the times where characters will call out when it's going to be Roger. And one of my favorites is one of the recent ones from the episode Eight Little Fires, where Francine is going to meet like a chef on a isolated island for like cooking classes of like how to find your spirituality in wilderness in cooking, to find like the depth instead of just following.
It's Roger, isn't it? It's going to be Roger.
And the entire time they're on the flight there, Roger is like, look, I want to be perfectly clear. This person we're about to meet is me. This is me. We are going to this island. You're going to look back, and I won't be there. I'll be gone. I will be this new person. So I want to try to mitigate and ease this transition as effectively as possible. It's going to be me. And so we are going through all this rigmarole so that I can be the persona that you're about to meet on this deserted island. Just so you know. And Francine lands. They get off the plane, her and Roger. She goes, thanks for coming with me. And I know you're going to disappear as soon as I turn around to meet this person. But again, I can't thank you enough for helping me through this. Roger goes, that's great. I'm really happy for you. I'll see you on the other side. And she turns to greet the person who is Roger. And she goes, oh, and looks back. And he's on the plane. He's on the plane as previous Roger. And he goes, okay, bye. And then she turns back and he's like, oh, okay, that's enough turning around for now. That's what we've done.
I love that shit so much. What are the rules around Roger's? What are the rules around Roger's abilities?
So they actually get into how Roger is able to do all of this in the episode Jenny from the Block, where she pretends to be a high school girl who dates Snot in order to, what was it? To get his mind off of Haley. That's what it is. He wants to go out with Haley. Snot is pining after Haley. He goes through a whole thing where he like gets an elephant and circus entertainers.
Oh, and he was.
That's the other thing.
Oh yeah, and then he was with.
That's another quote that lives rent free in my head, where he's like, "And your fourth favorite thing in the elephant sack, batteries." And so, Roger becomes Jenny from the block, to draw Snot away from pining after Haley. And it turns out they actually have some feelings, and Snot is down bad. And then Steve finds out that Jenny actually used a stress ball with a slit in it in order to take Snot's virginity.
Hold on. No. First of all, you have to say it right. The way he finds out is that the whole time Snot's been acting like he's been getting laid. And Steve is like, how does he not realize that it's you? And then that's when Roger explains that everybody has one persona that works on them for the core group of people. And Steve goes, but how? He goes, a tennis ball with a slit in it. This is a tennis ball with a slit in it. Come on.
Hilarious.
I'll paraphrase, but you know.
No, I think that was as cleanly delivered.
Sure, right? Yeah. Because I think it's so, that shit was so fucking funny. And I love that because that means that each one of the, so I remember them vaguely, but which characters are immune to which personas from Roger?
Well, so so Roger's rules is he just moves really fast. That's the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. He's just got like the Flash kind of speed, and like if he wants to change personas, because that's how they killed off Jenny, is she like steps in front of a moving bus, but really he just is super fast and like steps, takes a pig carcass, dresses it in his clothes, goes to a bar, steals a couple drinks, comes back, continues to hold Snot's hand until like so that the transition is seamless. He just moves so quick. That's it. He's good at moving quick. And so they get into like the actual who's who in the episode Stanny Tendergrass, when Roger is playing the like an angry country club member of a country club that Stan works at and is that he moonlights at in the off time of the CIA. I guess the CIA has down seasons.
He's always doing what he wants anyway.
And it's a country club that he works at because he desperately wants to eventually have a membership at this country club. And that's how a meritocracy works, right? Is you work for a place and eventually you get to reap the benefits from it, right? Right. And Roger's persona.
Monsieur Waffle House, you got to pay $5 a shift for your work lunch.
And then how much
even
do they
if you
make,
don't eat it?
How much do they make if they are in a World Star video with over 1,000 views? Huh? How much do they make then? Oh God, I summoned him. What do you want, Johnny?
It depends on how old they are.
Oh God, Johnny, you're disgusting. How do you sleep with yourself at night?
I don't. I sleep with them. I'm about to start being a persona guy. I feel like I'm a persona guy now.
You're going to live in the persona?
Well, not every day. I think I'm just going to be a different persona. Who's going to stop me?
The government? No. So Stan, his one persona that he can't see as Roger is Mr. Vanderhill from that episode. And Mr. Vanderhill then takes Steve under his wing and shows him how to be a terrible, bougie country club member. For Francine, it's the Korean kid who shoots pool with a giant chopstick. For Haley, it's her sandal repair man.
I love how arbitrary hers is.
Right? And for Steve, you remember that girl he made out with at the spin the bottle party?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, He's like, wait, that was you? And then they cut to it. And you see, he was so excited. And also, I really like when they do that. Because there's a bunch of times in the show where they'll show Roger from the perspective of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was like a car crashes into like a discount store or a grocery store.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's Roger and Grogu. But then it cuts back. And it's like two people. It's just
regular people. There is a newer episode where like they imply that Roger's clothes and costuming itself can even disguise mortals.
No, that was that episode. It was Steven Snot. That's what it was. They were in the store. It was Steven Snot. Yeah, yeah. They were wearing his outfits. They were wearing one. I think
that's a newer one because yeah, I don't remember the context of that episode.
Yeah, and I think they were wearing like one of them was wearing like one of his like pimp outfit. It was like weird. I like that cut. Okay.
There's also one of my favorite non Roger persona things, but just when they're standing in the convenience store. And stands high for the first time, and he's just looking at the chip aisle going, Cheetah. Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Cheetah. Cheetah.
Oh, wow.
There is so much beauty in this world.
Oh, I like when Stan breaks his boundaries, and he pushes. Oh, God. That show's... there's so many episodes. What's fucking happening?
These chocolate aisles, Francine. These chocolate aisles.
The episode where Stan and Francine are like, Stan's like, I could do it. He's like, when I was your age, I lived off of this amount. He's like, you know what? He's like, I'll take $500, and me and Francine will live in the car for a week, and you can have the house. And he spent all the money in one day. And Francine just, like, fucking goes home. He, like, lives outside.
He becomes anemic. Like, he ends up selling everything. His blood and his other juices.
And then it wasn't it, like, only one day or 2 days?
Yeah. It was no time at all. They go from, like, an apartment to a motel to a car. And Francine's just like, no, I'm not doing this.
My dear Fontaine. From Les Mis. Because... in order to protect her daughter, she goes and she sells her body on the docks, the French docks. Yeah. Musical reference.
Is there a Les Mis reference in American
There's Dad? A lot of Les Mis references. I can't because there's Les Mis is like the most popular musical franchise of. If there's
a very clear like Phantom of the Telethon one that is. The
I mean,
Phantom
that's not very. I don't fucking know. There's so many episodes. I remember American Dad, like I took a lot of mushrooms. It comes to me in bits and pieces. Waves. You know, it's like, it's hitting me in waves. It's like, oh, whoa, man. In a Christmas episode, I just put them all together. Because there's 17 Christmas episodes.
And a lot of just the one-off, like little quotable things. Like there's another line that I don't know the rest of the episode for it. It's just, who ever heard of a sad clown?
I remember. Oh, wasn't that the episode? That's the episode this is from.
Shit, it's Roger, isn't it? It's gonna be Roger.
Where Steve wants to be a clown, and he goes to the clown class. He goes to the clown class.
J.K. Rimmons.
Yeah, he's fucking sitting. and then he goes. Shit,
it's Roger, isn't it? It's gonna be Roger.
He goes, I believe, and Roger goes, well, okay, well, I mean, but it says here, you know, like, want to be a clown. It's a whole thing, and then he teaches him to be a clown.
He does a whole, what is it, Whiplash?
He does
Whiplash as J.K. Simmons, but he's just Roger. He's Roger the whole time. He goes, listen, kid, you gotta, what, oh, he goes, show me your horn corn. Horn corn is clown lingo for your shtick.
He said, by the time you're done, you're gonna see a lot of horn corn, you're gonna do a lot of horn corn.
Because of that episode, I was like, well, I want to know horn corn. I need to learn clown shtick. Yeah. I was down here. Mine was
yeah,
kind of.
You gotta,
I had a Squidward.
I didn't do it right, but whatever. I used to be able to do it okay, all right?
Was it because you went to clown school?
No. But, oh, don't make it Johnny.
Who ever heard of a sad clown.
Johnny went to clown school. Oh my God.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Back in my day, we just called it a liberal arts degree.
One of my favorite episodes is definitely the one where Klaus dies. And
what?
and then the whole family. And then somebody comes into their life and makes friends with them. And then eventually starts trying to find out how they feel about Klaus having died. And it turns out that Klaus didn't die. Klaus faked his death. But then... Wait, did he get shrunk? What? Was that like the eight? What? Were they inside of... No. He was trying to... He wanted to take away their autonomy because he was mad at them because they weren't sad
that he died. But then there was another episode where he hypnotized everyone to like him except Francine. And she was like, what the... Why is everyone cool with Klaus now?
I do like that in the later seasons, there's like one season where Klaus is suddenly cool. Everybody likes Klaus.
Everyone's just vibing. He's just a good hang.
You know, Klaus.
He gets a truck and he's a cool hang. And he's got the massive truck nuts at the end of him that are just scraping along the road.
Oh, God. How does he live outside the water? He's just scooting along.
Well, because he's
truck nuts waving in the wind.
My favorite Klaus quote is him going, what? You've never heard of, and then insert some random German folklore fable.
It's like, what? You never heard of the great granny who lived in the gigantic gingerbread cookie?
What? You've never heard the story of the German schnauzer and the eagle?
Oh my God.
Klaus, I think, is both underappreciated and at times completely overappreciated.
You're not going to like this.
Mm.
We have to do like 10 American Dad episodes.
Oh, we already.
There is so much to touch on.
That's true. There was.
Oh, my
so
God.
Much
we
didn't even get to talk about Boys 12.
God, you have one thing to talk about. Before we wrap up, what is that thing? Making him pick.
The voice of Steve, Scott Grimes, is by far one of the most talented voice actors of our generation.
So I discovered, as you see in the show notes, that he, in 1986, the year I was born, he was 11. He performed in Sweden for the King and the Queen.
What?
On the Bob Hope show. Also, I thought Bob Hope was like from much older.
He did comedy during World War II.
Why did I feel like Bob Hope was like, wait? But actually, if you think about it, that doesn't make sense. But anyway, yeah.
Was it Bob Hope's show? Or
I
was
think
it
so.
Like.
Yeah, it was Bob Hope. It was on. Was that what it says?
It says
Bob Hope, right?
TV special.
Yeah. Maybe it was a TV special with Bob Hope.
Because
he was in Sweden. It's so crazy how talented he is. And it's weird because, you know, they've never released American Dad album? They have never released an American Dad album.
But you can find
it
on Spotify.
God, release an American Dad album.
Like an original album or a collection of what they've
a
already...
A collection of the songs because of the shows that have music.
Is she not?
I think American Dad and Bob's Burgers are my two favorites. And I think...
Well, Bob's Burgers goes in on like musical numbers on a regular basis, but when you get the periodic one from American Dad, you're just like, this is fucking great. But you know what gets me more than the actual musical stuff? The little jingles.
I love
bird watching buddies. Take it slow. The bird watching buddies. And you know that wherever they go, we gonna be watching them birds.
A fucking banger. Oh my goodness. That's. Good God gracious almighty. That is some good.
We did that last week. We were
bird watching buddies.
Take it slow.
Wow.
You can actually listen to a lot of the music that's on American Dad. They have like some compilation albums on Spotify. And you know what else is on Spotify?
What?
episodes of Was That in Good Taste?
Oh my God, you're right. Episodes of Was That in Good Taste are on Spotify. Wow. Damn, that was...
Where else are they?
Oh, well, that's easy. They're on YouTube at youtube.com/ Was That in Good Taste. You can find it anywhere that you listen to podcasts. No, no more Google Podcasts. Google Podcasts is done.
We're donezo?
Yeah, they wrapped up.
Like
no more Google Podcasts. Instead, they're integrating it into YouTube Music. So if you have the YouTube Music app, if you search Was That in Good Taste, we'll come up. On Spotify as well, we do polls every week asking simple questions like, this week, what's the poll question?
Who's your favorite Roger persona?
Who's your favorite Roger persona is going to be the poll question. You go to Spotify, you click the episode, and right under it'll say poll. If I get any good ones, we're going to read them out here next week on the pod.
I think one of my favorites is going to be Mrs. Weinsteinopoulos.
Oh my God.
Half Greek, half Jewish, 100% overbearing mother.
Can you do an imitation?
Spanakopita?
Spanakopita? Scan it. Oh my God.
No,
I forgot about that.
I don't really know Greek.
Do you remember that episode?
Wait, there's a couple of things. Okay. Fuck, we didn't even get to talk about Stelios. And we didn't even talk about Hercules, Stan's stepdad who died and was buried in a satin spanakopita.
I got a solution for that.
What's that?
If you want to hear more about American Dad, anything pop culture, classic cocktails, or humor, make sure you follow us. You gotta listen.
Where are they gonna follow you?
Oh, damn. Where can they follow me? I'm at Living Dad Joke everywhere. That's on Instagram, that's on Twitter, and that's on TikTok. There's underscores. Cause some asshole has it without underscores, but has never posted.
We should fight them.
Where can we find you?
You can find me at Chandler Does Jokes everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, in life, Chandler Does Jokes.
BoneBearComedy.com.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Damn, I guess that's, wow.
That's
going
to be it.
You know, I feel like sometimes we have some Steve and Snot energy, but the question is, who's Steve and who's Snot?
Okay, I think that depends on the...
You're Snot.
Because I'm Jewish, huh? Damn.
Drinking is not required.
But it is recommended. Thanks for joining.
God. I fucking... Hey, Johnny. Get in
Johnny.
Here.
Oh, God. I got a feeling that it's gonna be a wonderful day. The sun in the sky has a smile on his face. And he's shining a salute to the American way. You know what I found out recently? In the wheels and the leg mat.